When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin. I just realized that I have the wrong background up here, so I'm going to be updating that while we go through this. But today on the show, we are going to be talking about, and I'm calling this a lounge for one very important reason. Normally, this would be a lowdown because I am riding solo. Normally, this would be a lounge or a lowdown. But this is a lounge episode in this one because it's a Sunday, and honestly, we could all use a little, you know, the support that you get from a bar, from a good bartender, right? When you walk into a good lounge that, you know, it's like the old cheer song, right? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, right? Like that's what we are going to be doing here today. We are all going to be commiserating. We are all going to be going through this together today. While I was trying to get over last night's loss, like really hit me hard for some reason. I think some of it is that coming to the realization, something I already knew, but had some hope for, but coming to the realization that the Nuggets are just better, right? That kind of hurts. That didn't feel good. The thought that you go through some of the situations there that led to Denver's run, which may have been inevitable, may have been unavoidable. We'll talk about inevitability here later in the show when we get into the idea of tanking again. But it was just it was a weird day. It was a weird morning. I was really down from that game, and I was so far down. I was so down and out that today I spent like basically all day. It was like 5-6 hours of like hard ass work. Like remodeling my front yard, like not remodeling, but revitalizing. Right, we have a dripping system for our sprinklers in our flower bed. I redid that. We have had for the last couple of years black mulch. I decided to change that to red, which meant I had to do that all over the yard. I trimmed all of the bushes in the front yard and picked up all the leaves. I mowed, I trimmed, I fertilized, and it was just like it was one of those days where hard labor is how I was gonna like sweat out the bad vibes from last night and some of the wine. And it was just that's how I spent my day. And yeah, I'm exhausted. For one thing, but it felt good to kind of get out there and work with my hands and feel like I accomplished something at the end of the day. And it was just the whole time I'm doing it, I'm listening to music and I'm thinking about that stupid game and I'm thinking about this stupid matchup. And I'm realizing as I'm doing all of that, oh yeah, that's right. The Pelicans and OKC are playing tonight. Please, OKC, look overwhelming enough so that like this, it doesn't hurt so bad that the Lakers are playing Denver in this matchup. instead of OKC. And then, you know, obviously it's the last game of the day, so you have to wait around for that all day. And I watched that game, and the entire effing time I'm watching it thinking, I was right. Harrison was right. We should have tanked. Lakers should have tanked. You could avoid them. You could have avoided the Nuggets and maybe get lucky with them getting knocked out by somebody else. We could have gotten to this series against. Now, you would have had to go through Sacramento, and I know when I tweeted it, a lot of people said, well, the Lakers would have just lost to Sacramento anyway, which maybe I think the Lakers have a chance against Sacramento in that game. I actually think that the Lakers match up pretty well with Sacramento without Herter and without Monk. You know who they don't match up well against? It is the team that they're facing, the team that just kicked their ass last night. And I know that some people took issue with me calling it a blowout. It was a blowout. The Lakers were up by 12 and they lost by double digits. That's a 20-plus point swing. And the second half of the game was not competitive. It was watching this OKC team struggle with the New Orleans Pelicans. And for a lot of the reasons, like they, the Pelicans got a bunch of offensive rebounds, and you could really see the inexperience from both the Thunder as a team and from their head coach, who went with a super long rotation, despite it being a playoff game. I just watched that game and I was like, yeah. If only there wasn't the play-in anymore, the Lakers would be facing off against the damn Thunder in this spot. It's annoying. It was just really annoying to watch that game and that Pelican Thunder game and just feel like, man, the Lakers are so much better than both of these teams. Like, especially in a playoff setting, when you're going to get more LeBron, you're going to get more AD, maybe not so much better, but they're, you know, I think the Lakers probably beat the Thunder in six, you know, if it even gets that far. And against the Nuggets, I think they're probably going to get swept again. And if they aren't going to get swept, it's going to be a gentleman sweep where the Lakers maybe win one home game or something like that. And it's just, you know, I understand how fans work. I understand how fans operate. I understand that you guys probably are sick to your stomach, even hearing me say all of this while I have this conversation with myself. But practically speaking, logistically speaking, the wiser thing to have done would have been losing, you know, resting AD so that his back is 100% whenever you play, whoever it is that you play. Resting LeBron, who looked exhausted at the end of the second game against New Orleans and looked exhausted, only shot twice in the fourth quarter of the last game. I understand, again, that fans don't want to hear that. Fans are, especially fans of the Lakers, right, who, the organization of Kobe, who didn't duck any smoke. I'm here to say I'm a coward. I'm a coward. I would take the coward's way out. I would face the worst team because OKC is way worse than the Nuggets. It's not even, I don't think it's even arguable. Like the Thunder, they're a great regular season team. I think they're poorly constructed for the playoffs and the Lakers would have beat them in six games. And it's a real bummer that instead of that, they have to deal with the reigning champion Nuggets who own them. It's not close between the Lakers and the Nuggets. I'm going to move on from that. I might come back to it, depending on the questions that we get. Send in those questions if you want to send them in super comment form. That's a good way to, get your question answered. I am going to be looking at the iTunes mailbag later, as well as answering some questions from Twitter. and then obviously hear from the live audience. We already have a couple super comments that I will be getting to later in the show. But in terms of like actual news that we have to get to, Christian Wood is, according to Shams Charania, slated to return potentially in game three. I think it helps in that it's another big body. It's probably a big body who's a better matchup for Jokic than Hayes is. You could play Wood alongside AD a little bit more comfortably than you can with Hayes. That's a pairing that Darvin actually used in the regular season. You know, whereas Hayes and AD was not much, it was not featured very much. So that I guess is one thing that you could kind of point to in optimism or copium. But the problem there is that, like, you know, Wood has missed a bunch of time, and you know, as soon as he steps onto the court, the Nuggets are going to challenge him with all kinds of pick and rolls with Jamal Murray, where he would have to like switch out and either switch onto Jamal Murray or try to hedge and recover or whatever in that spot. Or they'll just go with straight post-ups with Jokic, you know, going through Wood's chest. I don't think that would end very well for Wood either. But I do think, though, that, you know, he's worth trying, right? We're going to talk about some adjustments that the Lakers can make here heading into game two in a second. But I don't think this is a Jackson Hayes series. He has this like frenetic energy that works well against the OKCs of the world and works well against like the Pelicans or something like that, where like less disciplined teams will get to the rim and create extra opportunities. The Nuggets are so disciplined up and down that roster that Hayes is really kind of a poor matchup here. And on top of that, like Jokic sees Hayes, and if he sees him at all, but it's the exact type of player Jokic has always played well against, is the bounce happy big who all it takes is like looking in one direction, and you know that defender is going to move. And then, you know, on top of that, Hayes is pretty light in the wallet, and is pretty easy to move physically on top of the way that he can be moved with like ball fakes and head fakes and stuff. And, you know, I think Wood would be a little bit better in that spot than Hayes. Now, would he be better in that spot than Hayes coming off of like a one and some change, maybe 2 month absence? Probably not, right? Because I think he got hurt in the during All-Star weekend, which was back in February. So he's missed multiple months of NBA basketball. It's hard to ask him to go from that. It's hard to ask players to go from that to playing in the regular season. It's damn near impossible to ask somebody to go from that, missing multiple months, to then, all right, let's try you out in the postseason now. It's just, that's a lot to ask. I'm not comfortable hoping for anything from Christian Wood here. We do have a, Legend, you ask a good question. I'll come back to that one here in a bit. But the other topic that I wanted to hit on here was actually asked about in a super comment, which means,
fuck Boston!
Gorilla asks, thoughts on AD not cracking the top three in Defensive Player of the Year? I think it's stupid. Like, I think it's just dumb. For some reason, the national media and the voters who offer up their input on these awards just cannot stand AD for some reason. I don't know if it's still holding against him, his kind of clunky exit from the New Orleans Pelicans. I legitimately don't know. I don't understand it. But for whatever reason, since Anthony Davis has been a Laker, he is one of the more disrespected players, I think, in the league nationally. It's like you tune into whatever show that you want to tune into, and it's always some stupid conversation about Anthony Davis's injury stuff. Well, he played more games this season than he's ever played before, I believe. And if it isn't that, you know, the most, it's the second most. Well, he's inconsistent. Okay, sure. Yeah. But like, he might be inconsistent offensively. He's not inconsistent defensively. When you think about, like, when you look at this roster that the Lakers have, where Anthony Davis is being asked once again to make up for a backcourt of D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves, at times a trio of D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, and Taurean Prince, the Lakers, quote unquote, best defenders, like Jared Vanderbilt missed most of the year this season. Cam Reddish was leaned on heavily defensively. The idea that Anthony Davis would somehow keep this defense even somewhat, like even remotely intact, is and not like get any benefit of the doubt for it is just stupid. Like it's just bad analysis on the part of these voters. And it's like, well, we gotta reward winning. We have to reward winning here with some of these awards. Well, what the fuck is Wemby doing there? Like, you know, yeah, he has great on off numbers, but that's because the guys that are coming in behind him are like the Spurs were trying to lose. The idea that like AD would be a knock on AD, his lack of winning this year, and the fact that he's in like the whatever it was, finished in the eight spot in the regular season, that would be held against him, but not Victor Wembanyama. And like even beyond Victor Wembanyama, the Miami Heat won 46 games, the Lakers won 47. So if you're saying like, well, we have to reward winning, the Lakers, actually, technically, the Lakers won 48 because they won the in-season tournament. So like Bam Adebayo getting, you know, enough votes to be a finalist here, that doesn't make it like, I think Bam is a great defender. Like of the three guys that I would remove to put AD there, I would take Wemby out. I know he's an analytics darling, and I know that, he is his counting numbers and all that stuff are incredible, but AD's counting numbers are incredible. Like his counting numbers defensively are actually better than Rudy Gobert's, who is going to win the thing, right? Rudy is the best defender on the best defense in the league, which, okay, like that's historically how this award typically goes. But could you imagine what Anthony Davis could do if he was surrounded by the defenders that Minnesota has on their roster? Like, and I know this isn't a hypothetical award or whatever, and I know that this isn't, you know, that NBA in-season awards don't go to like the best player or the best defender all the time. It is that the best defender or the most valuable player that season. And I don't know, man, like even if AD wasn't going to win, and he never was going to win this year, the Lakers defense statistically isn't good enough. And we are really stupid when it comes to analyzing defense. But the idea that AD wouldn't be a finalist here, wouldn't crack the top three for best defenders in the league, when for my money, he's the most versatile defender in the world. It again reminds us all how stupid in-season awards are, or the NBA's end of season awards are, where you have Steve Nash winning more MVPs in his career, or as many MVPs in his career as Shaq and Kobe combined. You have, I don't think Eric Spoelstra has ever won Coach of the Year. I don't think Phil has. I think Pop might have once. Like, these awards don't represent NBA history. And again, you're going to have Anthony Davis, who for my money is the most versatile defender, at least one of the most versatile defenders in the history of the sport. He's probably going to finish his career without a defensive player of the year. And it's just like, okay, cool. So we're devaluing this whole thing. All right, that's fine. But then why have him? All right, let's talk about these game two adjustments. Apologies. I have a piece of grass in my eye. But yeah, the adjustments that I would look for the Lakers to make here. For one thing, Rui needs to play more. I think D'Angelo Russell, let's just like start with Rui. For whatever reason, I watched the game back and yeah, Jokic just absolutely obliterated Rui in every opportunity that he had. And I really didn't like starting the game with Rui on Jokic. The problem with that approach, and I talked about this with Raj, and I think Raj and I disagree on this front, but like the problem with Rui on Jokic and hoping that AD can kind of roam and wreak havoc as a weak side defender is that Aaron Gordon isn't the kind of offensive player, even though he can't shoot, Aaron Gordon is not the kind of offensive player that you can just ignore. And, you know, he's so good roaming the baseline. Gordon is, and looking for opportunities to dunk it. He has great rapport with Nikola Jokic, that alley-oop that Jokic throws to Aaron Gordon on the baseline is pretty devastating. It's like damn near impossible for anybody to stop. And what that means is like AD isn't able to fully go and be the impact defender in help situations as he normally is. So I would rather try AD on Jokic and just see if you can kind of make life that much more difficult on him. Now, the problem there is that Jokic is the exact type of player that AD struggles with, a physical, you know, impossible to move big who, just goes right through players. And, those are the types of players that AD really struggles with. And I would still, though, like I at the beginning of this next game, if it isn't, I would not start Rui on Jokic. If you're looking to kind of get clever here, maybe you start with LeBron on Jokic. But for me, I start with AD on Jokic and I see how that goes. AD, I keep saying it. In my opinion, he's the most versatile defender of all time. Not of all time. Close, though. He's like one of the most versatile defenders of all time. And yet the Lakers are kind of minimizing the impact he can have on these games defensively. And, with the way that they're doing this. And I just don't like limiting the impact that AD can have here. I didn't mean to show that one. Sorry, Legend. I'll come back to that question here in a bit. The other adjustment that I would make is with D'Angelo Russell. I said this on the show after the game, still stand by it. I give him a half. Like, you can't wait till you can't even wait till game three to see if D'Lo is ready to go. Like if he plays poorly in the first half here, that would be five games in a row where in the playoffs that he has struggled against Denver. And then it would be five and a half games if he struggles in that first half. So like you can't keep hoping, you can't keep trying the same thing and hoping for a different outcome, right? That's the definition of insanity. So if D'Lo doesn't have it, I know that it probably makes the Lakers it lowers their ceiling, but I would go with Gabe and I would ride Gabe here. And this is somebody who I've not exactly been blown away by, but I D'Lo was just that bad in that last game that I just, and again, I went back and rewatched it. He took so many stupid shots that were off of five or six dribbles that didn't involve anybody else in the offense just to show people. I swear I'm trying, I'm engaged. And you saw Darvin Ham drawing up play after play after play for D'Lo, trying to keep him engaged. It was a losing effort. It was a lost game. You know, it's a game that where you had AD go toe to toe with Jokic, and you had Jamal Murray kind of struggle from the outside or from the floor, and the Lakers lost it by double digits in large part because there was too much focus on trying to keep D'Lo around and engaged, where you got to trust that D'Lo might stay engaged just because you have to. He has to. Like, if he plays poorly again in this series, he's going to have to opt in. Like, he won't have a choice. Nobody's going to pay him because he's probably too good to help you tank outright in the regular season. He's too talented for that to happen. But then you also can't trust him in the playoffs. So, like, his contractual situation is really kind of iffy. And, if he doesn't play well in this series, or if he checks out because Darvin Ham benches him or goes away from him offensively, then that's just kind of on D'Lo.